We'll see if Michael Penix Jr. can be an overnight celebrity. I don't know. Got a lot of love for Warren on that one. It is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Thomas Turtle with you.
That's like when you hear the name of a movie. Say it during the movie. You're like, oh, he said the name of the movie.
It's the Leonardo DiCaprio meme where he's sitting on the couch with the beard.
Pointing at the TV.
Oh, it's funny. 404-726-0929. Poll is up at CT tonight, 929. The question is simple. Michael Penix Jr. and Kirk Cousins will not play this season. Do you care? Yes or no? Early batch of votes are in. Over 100 votes, 55.8% say no. Interesting. I do care. I really do. I think it's important. And I listed out the reasons why in hour number one. But essentially, the condensed version, you can't replicate it. And it's not just literally being on the field. It's getting the calls in and out. It's managing your timeouts. It's managing down and distance. It's managing a guy standing in front of you wanting to rip your face off. It's all of those things that simply cannot be replicated. So what do you think? 404-726-0929. We'll take some more calls. Diane is up first. Diane, what do you think?
Hey.
Hey, Diane.
Okay, I'm on your side. And I do care. And I'm going to tell you this. The jury for me is still out on Raheem. I would love for him to make me wrong. But I do not like a coach that's scary. The very thing you fear is the very thing that will happen. I think you should always play to win. And to me, he's playing not to lose. I don't like that. Now, even after hearing what I just heard about Penix not having a high percentage of his completions, that makes me feel even more right that he should be in that game on Friday night. Because when he played the three games, the only three games he played, that was one of the concerns I had, was he was overthrowing. He, you know, not that he's not good, and he did make some good completions, but we need for him to be just a little bit more accurate. And with all the changes that are made, why would he hold him out? I don't understand that, except he's scared. Scared he's going to get hurt. Well, you can't play like that. You can't be a coach like that. And I don't like it. So I'm sorry if I'm stepping on some toes, but I really want him to prove me wrong. But I really think I'm right.
Diane?
And that's what I have to say about it.
Diane, you are 1,000% correct. Not only do you step on those toes, you crunch down and you squish. Because the pressure needs to be on, Diane. You're 1,000% right. They better feel the fire because it's there. Whether they want to feel it or not. In my opinion, both of their behinds are on the hot seat. You can't have another losing season. You can't have another season where you don't make the playoffs. We've talked about it, Diane, on this show. 10 wins. That's the minimum for me this year. 10 wins. 10. Double-digit wins. You're going to win the division, and you're going to win a playoff game. Then everybody comes back. If it's not that, I think we need to have some serious discussions. 404-726-0929. Xavier's up next. Xavier.
Hey, what's up, fellas? First and foremost, shout out to Diane. That was a really good call.
She was on fire, bro.
Yeah, now her points is on point. And I just want to kind of echo it. Now, do I care if they played this preseason game? No, not necessarily. Everybody knows last preseason game. That's the last-ditch effort for the folks who's trying to make the squad. But for them not to play at all, I do care. It's kind of like what you said. There's like a level of sense of urgency that you don't get in practice. The second you say, hey, we're going to practice, there's a level of urgency that just not reached. So when you tell your quarterback, hey, we're going to do team practice with the other team, and you know that other team can't hit you, that clock isn't moving in your head as fast that when you say, hey, we're going out to play a game, when someone can come and knock your head off. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's kind of what happened with Kirk last year with Pittsburgh when, you know, you got T.J. Watt gunning down on you and you don't have that sense of urgency to get that ball out. You know what I'm saying? So it's really that sense of urgency that you really need with your first team to know, hey, this season's about to start. Like, come on, we need to go ahead and get in and get a tempo so we can go ahead and be ready when that actual game starts. And you're not going to get that with just joint practice.
No, Xavier, that is my entire point exactly. Appreciate the phone call. You just summed it up great. You can't replicate that stuff. Xavier just hit the nail on the head. Game speed is different than joint practice speed. It just is. It's close, but it's not the same thing. And to Xavier's point, y'all remember week one last year? 6 field goals by the Pittsburgh Steelers and Justin Fields beat the Falcons in week one. Y'all ready for that again? I'm not ready for that again. 404-726-0929. Wendy's up next. Wendy, go ahead.
Hey there.
What's up, Wendy?
What's up? So I want to bring a different perspective. Is it possible that he knows that he is not as far ahead as he wants him to be, and he is thinking that if he puts him in preseason, he's going to get exposed? Next thing, people are going to be asking questions. Why isn't Penix playing? I mean, I'm sorry, not Penix. Why isn't Cousins playing? With all due respect, the backup quarterback is 0-4 in the NFL. So, yeah, I mean, he seems to be playing well, but he's yet to win an NFL game. Mr. Penix is 1-2. And really, the only person who's a proven winner is the one we're trying to get rid of. So I think maybe it's not so much afraid of him getting injured and more so being exposed for not being ready and then the quarterback controversy that will come.
Yeah, Wendy, appreciate the thoughts and appreciate the phone call as always. I don't know if they're thinking about it from that perspective necessarily because I don't know if you can. I don't know if you can afford to operate in that manner, but I will say that I think they know that the noise is going to be loud and it's going to be constant if Penix comes out of the gate and struggles and you have Kirk sitting back there because there is a contingency of the fan base that still believes in Kirk. I've heard from them. It's not a large percentage of the fan base, but it still exists. So I think they know that's what's going to come if Penix struggles, but they can't waver, Wendy. They can't waver. He's the plan for now and for the future, and they have to stick with it. One more before we catch a break. 404-726-0929. Carlos, finish us off. Carlos.
Hey, Turtle. Hey, man, I'm kind of upset, man, because even though I want to see, you know, our quarterback really succeed, he's only got 3 games, so unofficially this is a glorified rookie season, you know, coming in. No disrespect to the preparation of him having a second full season to prepare as a professional. But I think it's nothing like live rounds coming at you by going into the preseason. It doesn't have to be 14 plays, 30 plays, or anything like that. Like, let's just get out there, first team, protect them, 7 plays, get the feel for it, and see what we got this season. I just don't understand why, you know, we don't get those live, why we want to risk the first game in a divisional game on trying to get your wings back for the game. So that's my thoughts.
Yeah, no, I appreciate the phone call, and I entirely agree. It's not a huge deal to get a little bit of work in. Right, guys? Right, Carlos? That's all we're saying. Don't play a half. Certainly don't play a full game. A little bit of work, some light work, break a sweat out there, feel another body contact, full speed. That's what I'm talking about. 404-726-0929. Again, appreciate everybody on the phones. If you haven't voted on the poll, hit me up at CTTonight929. Go vote on the poll. When we get back, how about a little Monday football frenzy? Any team, any topic, any player? We can certainly keep this discussion going. There's a lot to talk about in the National Football League. We'll do that next. Any team, any topic, any player. 404-726-0929. It's Chris Thomas tonight. Back with you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Chris Thomas tonight. Turtle with you until 10 o'clock, immediately followed by the Atlanta Baseball postgame show. Going to take more of your calls here in a second at 404-726-0929. Let's check on our poll this evening. If you haven't voted, please do. It is at CT Tonight 929. Again, at CT Tonight 929. Chris Thomas Tonight 929. Michael Penix Jr. and Kirk Cousins will not play this preseason. Do you care? Yes or no? Simple question. Again, we got well over 100 votes in at this point, and no continues to lead the way with almost 54% of the vote. Orin, you know why that's interesting?
Do tell.
Does not line up with what the callers have been saying.
Kind of a, yeah, this and that.
Yeah, so the online crowd is overwhelmingly in favor of them sitting. The phone crowd has been overwhelmingly in favor of them playing.
If you're in the online crowd, give us a call and tell us why you're in the majority over there.
Yeah, 404-726-0929, and we'll continue to do just that. Kwame checks in. Kwame, you're in the game. What's going on?
Hey, how's it going, Turtle?
What's up, Kwame? How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Big fan. Listen, as a producer, and I'm glad you got your own show, brother. I'm happy for you, and congratulations.
Thank you very much.
So, listen, I'm not concerned. I don't care, and here's why. Last season, Michael Penix started 3 games last year in the NFL. He performed well in all 3 games. He went toe-to-toe with the number one pick in the draft last year at quarterback, which was Jaden Daniels. This man brought us within inches, so to speak, within a victory. We did not lose the game because of Michael Penix. We lost the game because of field goal kicking and because of defense. So I feel comfortable with Michael Penix starting this season, having played no preseason games, because he has already proven to me as an NFL starter that he can handle himself in a real game under real game conditions in games that matter.
Yeah, Kwame, and I appreciate the phone call. I totally understand where you're coming from. Your points are valid, but I just disagree philosophically. I think philosophically, every year is its own thing. And Kwame, what I mean by that is, yes, Michael Penix Jr. was able to step into the fire last season and play really well. You're 150% right. That was a long time ago. That was a whole offseason ago. It's been a minute since he's been on a field in a true game-like environment. And again, if this was Mahomes or Allen or Lamar, yeah, got you. Like, no doubt about it, they don't need to play. I've seen enough. As good as Penix was, that doesn't absolve him or excuse him from getting more work in. That doesn't absolve him from being able to get better. Because, Kwame, I know there's one thing we can agree on. He's not a finished product yet. He's played 3 games. How could he be? Brady wasn't a finished product. Mahomes wasn't a finished product. Based on their rookie year, Peyton Manning certainly wasn't a finished product. Troy Aikman wasn't a finished product. In fact, those guys were awful as rookies, the latter two. So it's tough to just sit here and say, Kwame, that he's ready to go out the gate just because he got a little taste of it last season. That's just where I differ. And I know he looked good in the games. But again, that doesn't mean he doesn't need more work. That doesn't absolve him of that, especially when some of the other biggest names in the game are doing it. 404-726-0929. Nico's up next. Nico, what do you think?
Hey, what's going on, Turtle? How are you?
What's up, Nico? Doing well, man. Thanks.
I mean, I've been a Falcons fan since at least 1995. I used to work down at the Georgia Dome. I think a lot of us suffer from Falcons trauma, whether it be 28-3.
Yeah.
I can go on and on. and we're just always expecting the worst
well,
to
even,
happen.
How about even just last year, Nico?
Yeah, and I understand, but you got to think about last year we started out 6-3. Yeah, that Pittsburgh game was terrible. I'm a season ticket holder. I was there. I was very disappointed in what I saw. But after watching the quarterback and seeing that the transition to Kirk Cousins, some of the verbiage and different things like that that they use, it wasn't as seamless as we thought. He also was coming off injury, as we found out. So I think with a full offseason with Michael Penix getting together with the wide receivers, the running backs, getting together with Zach Robinson, that we may not see the same thing. Is the thought in the back of my mind? Yeah. But, I mean, it's at the bottom of my level of concern when it comes to this team. I'm excited.
Yeah, Nico, and you absolutely should be. And do I think that Michael Penix Jr. not playing in the preseason is going to be the ultimate determinant in him having a good year or not? No, I don't think that at all. But what I do think is we saw what happened last year. You want to be as prepared as possible, and there's a chance that they could look a little flat coming out of the gate in a game against Tampa, which you can't afford.
Correct. I agree. But I just think that if we hit a rough patch to start out the season and we finish strong and make it to the playoffs, I'll be happy with that because we started strong last year and then we ended extremely flat. We got a little boost when Mike went in, but it still wasn't enough to get us over the top. So I would be satisfied if we work out some kinks to start out the season, even though we have some tough games, and we can finish the season strong and learn from those early season mistakes. That's all I got. Yeah. I appreciate you taking the call.
Appreciate it, Nico. Thanks for checking in. Again, I think it's just a philosophical difference with me and the last two callers, Kwame and Nico. I just feel like you want to be as prepared as possible, right? And Penix is not a guy who has 10 years of experience in the NFL, who it's like riding a bike. No, it's the opposite. He has three games. Three. I just don't think you can take that for granted. And it feels like it's being taken for granted just a little bit. And just because of the chance that it could backfire like it did last year. I mean, what? You just can't, in my opinion, play professional football with bubble wrap. You can't do it. It's not possible. The game's too violent. You can get hurt on any play, whether it's in the preseason or the first play of the season or the last play of the season. It doesn't matter. 404-726-0929. Brian's up next. Brian, what do you think?
Yes, sir. How about it, man? I enjoy listening to the show. I think Michael Penix, I think the way he started, got through into the fire just like he did last year, that the excitement, the stage ain't too big for him as far as him going out and starting the season. I feel like he'll be a lot more comfortable starting, and then it'll probably be easier for him than getting through into the middle of the season like that. And I feel like maybe they seen the guy get hurt with Detroit. Maybe that scared the coach. Who knows? You know, and I know people get hurt every, you know, doing nothing, but I feel like he'll be comfortable to start the season, and I'm looking forward to a good season. And like I said, I just don't feel like the stage is too big for him the way he took the field last year and just took command of the game like he did, the way he just showed up and just he didn't flinch.
Yeah, Brian. I appreciate it, Brian, and thanks for checking in. You're right, but I think we're talking about two different things, Brian. Brian, I think what you're talking about is his ability to command the huddle, his ability to be QB1, be a leader, and I'm with you, Brian. You're 100% right. I don't question any of those things. I'm talking about reps. I'm talking about feel. I'm talking about getting the plays in and out of the huddle. I'm talking about managing the clock. I'm talking about two-minute drill. I'm talking about being in sync with your offensive line at real game speed. That's the caveat, right? It's the real game speed part of it that makes all the difference. Couple more before we get out of here. Eric's up next. Eric, what do you think?
Hey, Taylor, man. How's it going, man? Just give me a call, man, on the Michael Penny thing.
Yes, sir.
I think he's red. I'm with the 3-day thing, but I also understand the fact of I'm from the old school. I mean, football is football. I mean, if it had it my way, everybody would play. It's like when you're a child and you join the team. I mean, you play. I understand. I mean, as far as the bubble wrap, I mean, I get it. But he showed me enough, I mean, to where if he had had two more games, we might have made the playoff. Like the guy said about two calls back, it wasn't his fault. And I understand the main thing I think with Penix is people want to see him. They ain't concerned about what he's doing or whatever. They just want to put their eyes on him. And another thing with Penix, I'm going to get off, Turtle. It's kind of like a negative narrative toward Penix I've been noticing. I never hear anything about him being in the championship game in college. Everything is triggered around his injury. You know, I've heard too much compliment about the games that he played. I mean, the game against Washington was like a playoff game. I mean, you would think the game this year would have been on prime time with him and the guy Daniels. But, of course, the league didn't see it that way. But that was a good game. Kyle Pitts stepped up. But,
hang on, Eric. You know the Falcons have like 5 or 6 primetime games this year, right?
I'll talk to you later.
All right, thank you. I mean, Oren, the Falcons have as many primetime games, I think, as any team in the NFL this year. So I understand his point, and you want to see your guys, but you are. They're playing a lot of primetime games this year. Like a lot. Like 2 Monday night games, 2 Thursday night games, a Sunday night game, an international game. I mean, they're playing a lot of games. Week 2. They're starting off with Minnesota as a primetime game. Week 2, right off the shoot. 404-726-0929. So no need to worry about that, E. We got you covered on your primetime games. Yo is up next. Yo, what do you think, bud?
What's happening, Turtle? Love you, brother. So I'm going to just start off like this. Sharks are born swimming. Snakes are born slithering. Michael Penix was built for this moment. Ever since he stepped his foot on the field at the University of Washington, he has done nothing but perform at the highest level. I mean, the guy only lost 2 games sitting there at Washington. One was a national championship game. A lot of people in the Southeast didn't see him a lot because he played at like 12 o'clock at night, 1 o'clock in the morning over in the Pac-10. So they didn't really get the exposure to him. And that's where you saw all the negative pushback last year when we drafted him. But as you know, I was sitting here just trumpeting this guy because I knew that he, unlike all those other quarterbacks, was a finished product. And when he got his chance last year, I believe you and I actually had a conversation right before the Raiders game about not playing him, and then right after the game it was like, nope, it's a wrap, let's put him in. He stepped in and performed. And like everybody has said, he performed well against the Commanders. He actually was tearing it up against the Carolina Panthers. It was our defense that couldn't do anything. So now that Terry has gone through this offseason, we have all those guys we drafted for the defense last year, plus the guys we got for this year. Our defense should at least be able to get off the field once or twice, which changed the whole narrative. If you want to play Michael Penix, then you need to play the whole offense in the preseason. And I don't want to risk any of these guys. I don't want Drake getting no unnecessary hits. I don't want Bijan no unnecessary hits. Let's save our guys for when it actually matters. So you ask for the guys on Twitter to step up and say, hey, what do you think? This is what I think. We are ready for the Panthers the Bucks week 1. And we're going to knock them out. Tristan Wirfs is not even going to be in the game. That means our pass rush should be able to get home. This is going to be our year. Love you, Turtle.
Appreciate it, yo. I was checking in at 404-726-0929. Yo, I agree with everything you just said. Every word. But that's not the point. The point is not doubting Michael I don't doubt Michael Penix Jr. I think he's going to be good. I don't doubt him at all. It's about being ready for week 1. Those are 2 different, and a couple of people have brought this up now. Guys, these are 2 different things. Being ready for week 1 and believing in him is the long-term answer are not the same topic. I believe in Michael Penix Jr. as the long-term quarterback. I also believe that having him get some run in the preseason would be beneficial to him, being as ready as possible as he can for week 1 against Tampa. 2 different things. 404-726-0929. Going to switch gears here when we get back, talk some college ball with our buddy Ian Valentino, A to Z Sports. What the fuck happened in Michigan over this weekend? We'll make it make sense for you next. An absolute ton going on in the world of college football. several breaking stories over the weekend. We will get to all of those and more. I'm Chris Thomas tonight with you until 10 o'clock as we head out to the wadeford.com hotline. Welcome in our good buddy Ian Valentino. Make sure you check out his work at A2Z Sports. All right, Ian, you know the term, explain it to me like I'm five. I need you to help me do that with this whole Michigan, he's going to serve two games this year, Sean Moore, one game next year, $20 million fine. What is going on in Ann Arbor?
Yeah, we saw a dawn of a new age with punishments. And I think some of it was that Michigan had already purged a lot of the people that were responsible, or at least like the main culprits in what happened. And I think there's been a little bit of damage control that's come out since then for them to point toward some of the punishment guidelines. You know, they don't want to repeat what happened in the past where they basically at Ohio State, you know, put them in a position where players traded memorabilia they had earned for tattoos, and it basically destroyed the program for a year or two and led to Jim Tressel's firing. And I think looking back to the years, like a lot of those other punishments, they looked at those and say, look, why are we looking at these other current student athletes and future student athletes and punishing them for the sins of a regime that's no longer even there? So that's hard. You know, it's a slippery slope. Do I think that they maybe should have vacated wins? I don't think so. I don't know what good that does. We saw the games play out. But is there something that they could have done moving forward that was a little bit more powerful than just saying, hey, if you get fired, you can't have another job for a year? Like, I don't see the purpose in that either. So they really gave a slap on the wrist, and, you know, it didn't take long for the Big Ten to try to move on and leak this story about trying to get to, like, 28 teams in the playoff, which is insane. So I just think if you can buy a championship for $20, $30 million, then it's a pretty good business.
Yeah, we'll get to that expansion story in just a second. Ohio State, you mentioned, though, did name their starter Julian Sain. Any shock there? I would assume not.
No, I don't think so. I do think Lincoln Kienholz, the other option, I think he gave a really good fight, but you're talking about like a high five-star rated guy who has, by all accounts, you know, a terrific arm compared to a guy who, you know, grew up in South Dakota, wasn't necessarily in like the highest level of competition. It's not that he couldn't be a really good quarterback. I think Ohio State would have kept that battle going if they could have, but, you know, they're 2 weeks out. So at some point you have to make the call. I think Ryan Day is banking on the talent of Sain and a little bit of the pedigree.
Is there enough weapons around him? I know obviously the wide receiver room sort of speaks for itself, but collectively speaking, does he have enough to work with?
Yeah, I think so. I think the offensive line is looking better than what they expected. They took a couple transfers in. I think one of the transfers was one of the best rated tackles in the nation from Rice, who played really well last year against Texas, Ethan Onyuanwa. He, I think, is going to be on the bench to start the season. I think that one of the kids that they took from Minnesota to be their right tackle, I think he's going to win the job over him. And so that's a good position of strength to have extra offensive linemen. Tight end position, they might have the best tight end in the country, Max Clair. Running back room is very young outside of C.J. Donaldson, who came over from West Virginia. But the Buckeyes continue to reload, whether it's between the transfer portal or just hitting on these recruits. They look pretty loaded. It's going to be a lot to make up for with the new offensive coordinator, too.
Real quick in the pros, Travion Henderson and Quinshon Judkins are both getting a shot this season. Judkins obviously had some off-the-field stuff to deal with, but seems like he's ready to go now. Do you think either of those guys has a real, like, true RB1 potential in the NFL?
I think Henderson does in a little bit of a non-traditional role. I think he might just be a guy who's super efficient, almost like a Jahmyr Gibbs, where he's like a 1A, 1B situation where he's clearly the better talent, but you're not going to run him between the tackles 15, 20 times a game. You're going to do some special stuff with him to give him a runway because he's battled some injuries. I think Quinshon, I think he's a good player too. I think he could be a good running back. Is he going to be a standout guy? I don't know that he's a standout guy. I think he's someone that you're pretty happy with for the duration of his rookie contract if he can, you know, get that hammered out. And maybe, you know, one more contract after that. But I don't think he's someone that's overly too much of a difference maker. He's solid, but not spectacular.
Talking all things college football with our buddy Ian Valentino. Make sure you check out his work at A2Z Sports. You mentioned the Big Ten and this latest proposal. Is this the closest thing to a super conference proposal we've seen?
I think so. It's definitely the biggest one I've seen yet. It's the most out there. So I'm wondering if they're floating it out there to kind of set expectations, you know, crazy high. And then if they kind of meet in the middle, they're pretty happy with that. But they're following the money. I don't even know the purpose of the conferences at that point. Like, just have it be an open field and just be Wild West independent, and everyone gets an automatic bid if you make a certain amount of money per year. Like, it's really hard to parse through this and see like the business side of it and think that this is good for fans. So I don't know. It's getting crazy though.
All right. So speaking of crazy, Sooner Magic Memories is offering fans the opportunity to sit in post-game press conferences this season. And they've listed some pricing tiers, Ian. Oklahoma-Michigan non-conference showdown get-in price is $692.11. For Auburn, it's $575. What in the heck is going on with this?
You know, maybe if it was like Ole Miss with Lane Kiffin, where you're going to get a quote that's just some gold, maybe you could justify like $20. I would want to be paid $500-$600 to sit through some of these post game press conferences. I've been there. I've been in that room before. There's nothing special about that room. A lot of the times it's even streamed online, so you don't have to be there. Interesting model. If it works for them, a lot of credit, but I really don't see the appeal. And if you're a fan thinking about it, I can just tell you that from my seat, I've never really found anything that interesting in those post-game conference press conferences.
Will they be allowed to ask questions? I would assume not.
I mean, for the price, like, how do you not, though? Like, you should get one free question, and it, like, has to be answered. If you can get that from, like, Deion Sanders or someone, or just one of these coaches, and, like, they have to answer it, then okay. Then you might actually convince me that that might be worth it for somebody, but anything short of that is pretty ludicrous, and I can't imagine that the coach would ever agree to that.
Yeah, and fans are going to be shocked at some of the sizes of these media rooms across the country, because I know that some of them are small in the NFL, Ian, so forget about it in college. Notre Dame quarterback battle, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I like CJ Carr here. I think that kind of goes back to like the Ohio State idea of, we have the infrastructure around them, we have the coaching, we have the pedigree to where if he makes a couple mistakes, has a couple bad games, we should be able to survive that, still get into the playoff. Their schedule doesn't look too terribly hard either, and I think Carr, the word out on him has been very positive since he even committed there. I mean, that's always going to be the case, but I do think that that's where I would probably lean toward. Let the young guy struggle a little bit, and if he doesn't settle within the first couple of games, then maybe you turn the page and try to come back to him later.
There's a lot of hype here locally in the flats about Tech and what they could do this season. Do you like them in the game against Colorado to open the season?
Yeah, I would probably pick them. I think Colorado is a solid team. I actually think they're probably maybe a little bit undervalued overall. Obviously, they lose Shador. They lose Travis Hunter. You're not going to replace those guys. But what you are going to do is you're going to see a little bit more of a more well-rounded team. They've done really good at actually building out that roster. They've built more depth on both sides of the ball. Like, it's not the same team that it was when Deion took over, and they deserve a lot of credit for that. But at the same time, I think Georgia Tech is just going to be more athletic. I think they're going to be more physical. I think the depth is there. I'm buying the trajectory of this team, and I think the quarterback play should be significantly better than what we've seen in recent years. So I'm looking at them with a lot of interest this year. I think they're potentially a sleeper. Maybe, you know, I don't know if I want to talk playoff, but I definitely want to talk double digits. Can they get to that level if everything goes well? Well, I don't think I'd be too shocked about that.
Who has more to lose in week one, Clemson or LSU?
I think it has to be LSU. I think, you know, when you're Dabo, like, you've got a track record of bouncing back, enduring, all of these things that you need to see from a championship caliber program. It's still a young team that should be blossoming at the right time. But to me, LSU, it's not only just LSU's own demons that they've had in these games, but then they have to go. They have a really tough schedule. They're going to have a lot of showdowns that last year they failed. A key point to the season that they can't afford to do that. This is a Brian Kelly thing though, too, where he's got to show it and he's got to do it against other elite coaches to kind of, I think, get the faith back into him a little bit. It's going to be a close game. It should be a great, fun offensive game, but I think LSU, because their defense was so bad last year, they have to come out and show that they've actually made progress. And this isn't just a team that's almost more like a Big 12 team in how they play.
Who do you think has more on the line early on in the season, sort of the same deal, Oregon or Ohio State with their big matchup week one?
I think Oregon. I think Ohio State's going to be afforded a lot of grace. And their schedule is pretty favorable, too. I haven't heard anything about Oregon all offseason. No one's talking about Oregon. I think they're looking at the move to Dante Moore at quarterback. You lose Dylan Gabriel after you lost Bo Nix and, you know, Justin Herbert. They've had a long lineage here of quarterbacks that worked out really well. But the last time we saw Dante Moore, he was terrible at UCLA. He got benched out there with Chip Kelly, and that was a bad team. Like, that, I don't think that was necessarily on Moore, but he looked bad. So they didn't bring any competition in. They tried to bring in a five-star quarterback. He ended up going to Cal. He won that starting job today as a freshman, which is huge. But I think for Oregon, there's a lot on the line for making that decision. Like, this is where Dan Lanning, you kind of got to show it. Last year was the huge breakout year, only undefeated team all season. Now you got to prove that that wasn't a fluke and that you're not just reliant on Nike money now that everyone else has kind of caught up to them a little bit. So Ohio State, I think, you know, they're turning over, like you said, like 15 starters or something. Like, if they have a bad year this year, they're kind of in a grace period where it's like, as long as they beat Michigan, I don't think anyone really cares.
Before I let you go, what's the latest you're hearing on DJ Lagway? Is he going to be okay?
I think he will be. You know, things are always close to the chest, right? Like, you never want to spook a fan base and get them riled up. And, you know, Billy Napier, we know it's on the line for him this year. And I think that whole program right now is really, they need it. They need Lagway to be out there and be a star. There's a lot of recruits that want to come play with him. He's got a very unique draw to him, understandably. Florida's waiting to be that powerhouse, but one injury like that can break it all, which is a little bit scary and a little bit unique. And a lot of programs aren't in that situation. So I think I hope he'll be okay. The only things I've really heard is more optimistic than not, but it's getting down to it, and I hope that we start to actually see it and get some positive reports going.
Ian, appreciate the time. As always, we'll chat soon, and we'll check you out at A to Z Sports. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
All right, that is Ian Valentino, our good buddy there. When we get back, let's keep the college football conversation rolling, but let's talk some dogs. Connor Riley joined our buddies Dukes and Bell earlier in the day. They had their second scrimmage this weekend. Who's looking good, who's not, and everything in between that's coming your way to kick off the 8 o'clock hour. Chris Thomas tonight with you till 10.